Cue the roll call.
Fuck.
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Webcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder. Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Lab. Beecaster Lightred.
From Royal to Ranger, Orangecaster, Noble.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Hi, everybody. I got Q-Ranger stuff. It's awesome.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I'm wearing the Seiza Blaster right now. I got Kureno right beside me.
I got the Kyuza weapon.
Well, I also got Juju Burger as well. And Juju Burger is a lot of fun.
That was 100% necessary.
Yep.
I also got the Gashet Gear Dual Beta, which I'm loving.
Yep. It's a pretty sweet toy. I almost got one myself, and I was like, I don't really need one.
I'll let Ichi Beta it for me.
Yep. Yeah, whatever. I got the Gashet Gear Duels, so I'm happy with that one, too.
Joining us once again via the internet is our good friend Orangecaster Noble. Say hi.
Hi.
That was a good hi.
So Gar and Emily are not here, because, like we said in Extra Extra, they went to go find the Ghost movie subbed.
It's been a long time coming, and they decided to go on an epic journey. So much like the rest of us have been when we've been playing Zelda Breath of the Wild, now on Nintendo Switch.
By now.
It has taken over our fucking lives.
It really has. Like,
So I really don't know how to break this to Gar and Emily having gone on their epic journey, but I literally found the subtitle of that movie like an hour ago.
Really?
So...
But they're already halfway to Egypt.
Right?
Egypt?
They'll encounter Dio while they're there.
To break it to them. Like, they didn't have to go anywhere. They just had to wait.
They're going to go to Egypt. Gar's going to get punched into a water tower looking at a 7-Up sign.
Yep.
And then he's going to have to duel with his inner alter ego to release him.
Emily's going to fight the scariest fucking bird you'll ever see in an anime.
Kill that bird!
No!
It's
you don't understand. There is this bird.
You don't understand, man!
And it's super scary! A dog fights it!
It's a bird lane. They don't stand. They fly.
I didn't say they stand. I said he has a stand.
I love how Gar is Kakyoin and Emily is Iggy for some reason.
Emily would be Iggy!
I don't know who any of these are!
God.
You're Polnareff.
And I'm Joseph. Oh, shit! This is just heavily JoJo right now.
Yeah, I don't watch JoJo.
X8 section, go! Alright,
we have yet another episode with no opening, and I don't know what's happening.
No, before that, I'm sorry. So I'm gonna get into this right now. So, as everyone, you guys included, are all aware of, I changed my mind a shit fucking ton about who's my favorite what in anything. But, I will say this right now, I am super fucking serious, and I'm putting my foot down about it, too.
Dave, are you listening? Listen to this, Dave!
Kuroto Dan and / Comrade Gemu is now, officially, and will be forever, my favorite character / writer in Kamen Rider X-Aid, I promise you. Paradox was honestly more, just I was overly hyped for it, which, that happens to me a lot, because... You know, autism, woohoo.
Just cue in the Spock voice. You're now and forever will be my fave.
But don't get me wrong. I still love Paradox. He's fucking awesome. So.
You're speaking in a paradox right now.
I know. But yes, so this episode was like kind of sort of really Dan focused. It seems like next week's episode is also going to be heavily Dan focused. So. God, I fucking love this man so much. He's just so crazy and just so badass and just has the most fucking evil smile. Like, if he just keeps going the way he goes and he doesn't go away anytime soon,
You say that seeing the preview for next week.
I know. That worries the shit out of me, but we'll see. We'll see. But he might beat Ryoma, Sengoku Ryoma, as my favorite villain writer, but we'll see, because Ryoma was fucking awesome, and he was fucking awesome.
It's going to be a cold day in hell before Ryoma gets dethroned, in my opinion.
I mean, Dan's already way more crazy than Ryoma was, because, like, Ryoma wasn't crazy. He was just more like, I'm smart.
He did it for the science.
I'm super, super smart. No one's smarter than me. Ha 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 ha. Golden fruit.
He had a better mental capacity. He was able to do all that shit and still seem like a suave motherfucker.
Plus, he was way too obsessed with Coda by the end of the series.
Everyone was!
Anyways, so that's why I'm honestly believing that Dan's gonna be the one to become Kamen Rider Chronicle, because, like...
Although we have many different theories on
that. Yeah, like Kevin said, like, oh, I feel like Pallad's gonna be him, and I'm like, he gets perfect knockout,
yes, that happens... But I like the idea that Pallad could be Comrade of Kronos Chronicle, whatever it is.
Chronicle.
Because the whole build-up with his character so far has been he wants to play Comrade of Chronicle.
Yeah.
I feel like he should at least have a chance to do that.
But then I feel like Dan's going to be Comrade of Chronicle just because he's like, I'm the only one who wants... I want to make the ultimate game, so he feels like he's the only one who deserves to wield the ultimate game.
And my counter to that is, if it is him using the Gashit, why isn't it Kamen Rider Genmu Chronicle Gamer instead of Kamen Rider Chronicle?
Because he's
It's a different power set, so it should be a different character.
Because he's that much of a fucking prick. I don't know. He's just like, fuck it, Genmu's dead. Literally.
Maybe.
You also said that Masamune might be him.
I also really like the idea that Dan Masamune will take it and use it to re-usurp his son back.
And actually, I would be just as happy if that happened too, because I just love the Dan family. They're a cool bunch of fucking dudes. Like,
I'm also really curious to see who the new Genmu president is, because they haven't talked about that.
It's Garia. I keep saying it's Garia. Now just imagine it's Garia.
I have mixed emotions about that. I don't know how to feel.
You'll see him and you'll just be like,
but the flowers!
No, it'll just be that moment from The Lion King where just like Simba walks up to Scar and Scar's like, Mufasa, no! You're dead! So it's just gonna be... Or Garia has a twin brother or something. Who the fuck knows? Like... Kirio was a batshit fucking liar, so he could have... We barely knew anything about him.
Yeah.
That was the biggest mysterious thing about his character. To me.
Actually, that would be an interesting idea if the new president is someone related to Kirio through which we learn more about him.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
That'd be so cool.
And then he gets to be Laser.
That or, you know, fucking... Toei has just become self-aware of the fact that everybody's looking at their shit. Like, hey, let's post a picture of him getting his flowers.
But, okay.
That would be so fucked!
Right? Let's post a picture
let's
of him getting his...
Let's fake out and give him the flowers.
Let's give him his... Post a picture of him getting his flowers so everyone thinks he's...
No, those were his flowers for playing Kujo Kiria. Now he's playing an entirely new character.
His twin brother!
Exactly! Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would like to see that.
Yeah!
Mio!
Okay, so the main focus of this episode that we found out is... We found out the other thing that Kirio died for, finding out from his dad.
Which is, in truth, the only bit of information that Kirio was killed for. As we saw from Genmu being totally okay with telling Taiga about, you know, Emu's Bugster.
Dan discovered the Bugster virus during the Y2K incident.
And here's where we all start to feel real fucking old. When they use the Y2K bug as a basis for a long, long ago plot.
Yeah.
I actually vaguely remember my New Year's Eve for the year 2000. I drank champagne for the first time, I was 10 years old, and I saw these cool fireworks spiraling around the Eiffel Tower on TV, and it was fucking awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember...
Autism!
I remember grade 9.
Jesus Christ! Right, you're fucking old. Grandpa
Back
Raymond.
Back before you wore that hat all the time.
Grandpa Raymond, how was 2000 BC? Sips his tea.
I have hot tea in my hand, Lane. I can flash it.
Don't make me reenact that and make your studio sketch.
But yeah, so...
Before we get into anything further, I want to bring up something interesting that I discovered. So, Officer Uesugi in this episode is actually a very commonly reoccurring guest star actor in Kamen Rider. I knew I recognized him, so I had to look him up. Here's who he is. He is the ramen vendor in Kamen Rider Agito from episodes 11, 19, and 40.
I remember that.
He is a character named Taco Saburo from Kamen Rider Blade, episodes 29 and 30.
Nope.
And here's the one that really hit me. The Piano Man in Kamen Rider Deno. You know, spoilers for a 10-year-old show, the one who got erased from his own timeline.
Oh, right, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really funny because now he's under the care of the Deno Kyume Center, Cyber Rescue.
Detective of Grongi Countermeasures Team in Kamen Rider Decade.
He was one of the cops in Decade's version of Kuga's World.
Wow.
In Kamen Rider XL, he was Aoi Katsuragi's father. He was a character by the name of Shozo Matsuki in one of the two-episode arcs in Kamen Rider Wizard, episodes 12 and 13. And, of course, he was Heiji Uesugi, as well as the Kaiden Bugster in Exaid of this week, episode 21.
Can I just say, I loved how the Kaiden Bugster, like, introduced himself.
Like a samurai.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
That was all pretty standard fare for samurai characters.
Right. Also, I forgot if it was Crunch or Noah, but one of them said, like, they hated his fucking head.
It was me. His head looks stupid. It looks like he's wearing an apple.
It does. Just an apple with the space on it.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting take on the praise whole Sakata that samurai wear. But, I mean, I didn't have any major problems with it. He did have that whole back armor thing that the Chambara Calabos Bugster had. So, it's definitely the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so we also found out that, Masamune, Dan was not responsible for Zero Day or the Bugster virus or anything. Dan just...
Framed him,
and so he could continue his work on creating Kamen Rider Chronicle, because he's like, I don't have time to be arrested before my game's finished. So...
Yeah, so...
Interesting, what an asshole!
The Bugster virus came from the only computer that was actually affected by Y2K, discovered by Dan, and then he used it to cause Zero Day.
Yep.
And framed his daddy. Wow.
What a bastard. But no, just, Dan was so fucking great this episode. Like, he was just, like, maniacally laughing, just, like, showing up random places. Jumped off a fucking bridge right in front of Emu, and I'm just like, holy shit.
And dabbed while doing so that we wouldn't see it was a stunt actor's face.
Right?
Dan likes to dab.
Oh, you know what really pissed me off this episode? Mm-hmm. Brave went full dragon twice, and we didn't get to see the henshin.
And I'm gonna say this.
Why?
Everyone we've seen full dragon, Brave literally knocks it out of the park. Full dragon, Brave looks really
awesome.
Because
it makes him a dragoon! It fits his motif perfectly.
It makes him a dragon knight.
Yes!
Also, I think we're at the point where we just have to admit that Emu's just a fucking pansy when it comes to this shit. Because, obviously, like, Taiga and Brave both did full dragon and no issues.
Yeah.
No drawback at all. Emu can't control full dragon.
I feel like if we asked them, their excuse was once Exaid tamed it, it wasn't a problem anymore.
Yeah.
But I agree that yours is also a possible theory.
Yeah, Emu's just sucks.
But yeah, now honestly, if I wanted a Brave figure of any shape or form, honestly, Brave full dragon I'd want to get, because... It looked cool, impressed me. I agree with you, Ichi. That's stupid we didn't get a fucking segment for him, for his henshin. That was bullshit.
Like, it happens twice this episode, and we don't get it either time! Why?
It was silly, though, every time we heard him, like, slash his sword, you just hear, like, a little dragon roar. I thought that was stupid.
I liked
it. You just hear, roar. And then just, credit to Genmu's suit actor for, like, awesome just
breakdancing moves.
No, but awesome choreography. Like, you saw, like, Brave, like, swing a sword at him, and you just saw him, like, just fucking dive back quickly and then, like, move back up like a fucking zombie would, and it's great. And then just, like, the line where he's like, I'm going to claim your gadgets. And Snipes is like, gee, I was about to say the exact same thing. And I'm just like, ooh.
And then Genmu does bang, bang, critical finish with the Sparrow just to be a dick.
Yep. And then he loses it.
It's like,
Snipe gets it back.
Oh, you're going to use bang, bang, critical? Hey, guess what? Here's a bigger one.
I like how when Snipe uses bang, bang, critical fire, if you notice, the gauntlets that he's got are normally upside down, but they, like, flip over so that the top of the battleship is, like, together in his hands when he fires. That's a really, really nice touch.
It's like, haha, I'm gonna use bang, bang, critical. Yeah, so am I. Mine's bigger.
I'm gonna sink your fucking battleship, bitch.
Right? Thanks, Dan, for the great power-up.
Yeah.
Honestly...
Well, technically, he took it off Hero. Hero was the one who took it off Dan.
Yeah, but just... Snipe wields the Gashagear Dual Beta so well.
Oh man, Simulations Gamer is such a broke-ass form.
It is. Like, he even beat Kick Paradox's ass with it. Like, it was impressive.
It was a tie, but he put up an amazing fight.
No, and then, like, it was funny. They made, like, a game reference where it's like, you never try to, like, use melee in a shooter. Because, like, that just doesn't end well for you. Like,
yeah. There's me.
Yeah, if you try running at someone trying to melee them while they're shooting at you with a gun, you're gonna die. Like, it's happened to me many times in Halo. It's way too many times in Halo.
You're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, and then just Pallad just clicks, figures it out. He's like, oh, okay, I'll go perfect puzzle, and tries to fight him with that, but it's just, no.
Let's see. So we find out why Genmu has been getting his ass kicked and going back time and time again.
Yep.
He has been collecting more data on his own death to power up Dangerous Zombie. And this also explains why, in the text releases of the name, it's been described as level X and not just the number 10. Because apparently the forms that are labeled level X have a variable element in them where they can become stronger than the levels that they are set at.
Well, what Pallad said was literally Genmu is working on something where the concept of surpassing the, like, levels are irrelevant.
Which I think is neat.
Yep.
But the problem is this happens in the episode, and then when he finally attains quote-unquote level X...
He poofs.
Not even that, just there's no visible change aside from the, like, extra smoke during his henshin.
Well, yeah, no, because it's still the same gadget, yeah, it's just that he unlocked its full potential.
It's just, he just unlocked the full power of it. It didn't change what gadget it was. It
I know, but change the power. I feel like there should be at least a slight difference. Like, Lane and I were talking about this, like, for example, the broken visor could be fully repaired, so
I
both his eyes are
red. I would have liked that, but think of it as, like, think of it as if you, like, 100%ed a game. Like, you just went to a game, got all the achievements for it, all the collectibles, and you just, like,
fully... Oh my god, that's what this was!
That's what it is! He fully completed the game.
Well, I mean, most games, when you 100% it, you get something.
Yeah, like,
If you watch The Completionist, there's plenty of games that don't do that.
I'm gonna give a congrats to Crunchman, because he recently just... 100%ed Borderlands 2, which apparently took him 2 years, so...
Jesus.
Congratulations, Crunch.
There's a fuck ton of content in that.
Well, he spent, like, hours the other day, apparently, like, doing the hardest one, where it was, like, finding some guy named Jimmy Jenkins or something. I don't know what that is, but...
But, going back to, the cop, Mr. Uesugi, did anyone else laugh their face off when he just spilled off the side of the bed? It was so unnecessarily comical.
But I like that he kept, like, he kept getting affected by the game disease, like, the whole episode, because I'm like, he's a cop. Cops are usually constantly under stress all the time.
And here, the weird thing about that is they never showed what caused the infection, and because it first happens when he's talking to Dan Masamune, I think they were trying to possibly imply that Masamune can cause infections? Or maybe he was just one of the people who was hit by the citywide spray of Bugster that Dan was talking about earlier.
Always possible.
I like to think so.
I think maybe it's kind of like...
That interview was getting to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like... Kuroto Dan going is like, okay, this guy's investigating this shit. I don't want him investigating this shit. Oh, he's going to go talk to my dad? Well, I'm going to
Just go salt bay on his ass with the Bugster.
Yeah, like, he warns them early in the episode, like, don't fucking, like, pry into like what I'm up to. Like, it's not gonna end well for you. And then they do it anyways. And he's like, I fucking warned you, don't get involved. It's none of your concern what I'm up to. And just, but it was just, oh, Dan was just so great the entire episode. Like, he's so crazy. And then, like, he, like, kicks Emu down onto the fucking ground and then, like, does this awesome, like, fucking Michael Jackson high kick. Like, the, like,
yes, all the memes. All the memes.
So, like,
in fact, that's going to be our thumbnail.
Yeah, our thumbnail's literally just going to be, like, the picture of Dan just doing that high kick, and he's just going to have, like, Michael Jackson's, like, smooth criminal fedora on his head. Just, woo! No, I have that picture on my phone, and I'm keeping it. Like,
that's going in the memes folder.
Like, Shadowcaster, like, gave me some sass on the Cast Ranger chat today, and I just replied with...
Sasscaster!
Yeah, I replied with that picture of Dan kicking, and I was like, fuck you.
But
I've also seen one of that where they replaced his belt with Keyvat.
Yeah. I saw that.
That's amazing! Wake up!
Yep.
Wait, I wonder if... I'm gonna look up if Kiva Gamer is...
can't
move.
I can't remember.
I think it is.
The other interesting thing that we learned from Uesugi is that his son was completely consumed by a bugster, which immediately leads me to think, we haven't seen any other completed bugsters running around. We knew Graphite was born from Saki.
The only other bugster we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be the only other option there.
No, Kiva Gamer's the X-State form.
Yeah, I like to think the Exade and Genmu allocations for the Legend Rider forms are, like, mostly way off point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we'll talk about that later. And yeah, so Emu and Poppy go and talk to Masamune, and I just imagine him just trudging out, and he's just like, God damn it! How many times do I have to tell my fucking life story to you people?
I know.
Everyone I talk to dies.
No, but wait, he was okay with talking to Emu because like he.
Oh, you're the protag? Sure, sit your ass down and let me tell you a tale.
Yeah, that was an interesting point there when Emu introduced himself and he was like, "Wait, you're Emu,"
which relates to
I know who you are,
which relates to the fact that at the start
Patient
of the show,
Zero.
Kinda yes, but also the fact that we learned that the reason that the CR sought Tensei Gamer M. at the start of the show,
it's because Genmu told them to.
Exactly.
But also, I liked that Masamune has like he trusts Emu to defeat Dan. Like he's like, can you stop my son?
I like to think
my son is a little shit. Beat him up.
He needs to be slapped silly.
I like to think on the flip side of that because when they tell him Kiria was killed, Masamune is like, oh man, I had high hopes for that guy. And then he's like, okay, can you tell us what happened? Can you actually stop my son? Because I'm not explaining this shit a third time.
Also, look at my fucking shitty mullet.
He's in prison!
No, but they have prison barbers. It's a thing.
Maybe he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yes, they have prison
He misses
barbers.
The 80s. Leave him alone.
Cold fucking rape and buzz cut.
Yeah.
Just take...
No, but then you see him in the past when, like, he's, like, the president of Game Corporation. I saw his hair there, and I'm like, that's perfect! Why do you have this shitty mullet? Like, now! Come on! God damn.
So...
It was Stallone week in the prison movie theater.
So, any of you remember a while back when we first met Sukuru, and I said, you know, it'd be great if they just kept him on and had him, like, make more gashets for them.
Taiga went for it!
Yeah,
because,
that's happening.
No, because Nico was just like, gee, it's if only we could make something that could defeat a zombie! As she's sliding down a slide, and just Taiga's just like, an eye for an eye, game for a game.
And I'm like, thank you, someone is finally doing some meta-thinking in
this
show.
It just took Nico sitting there like, oh, hey, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had somebody capable of making new gadgets?
Also,
who could make something specifically designed for the task we have at hand.
Also, Sakura's rocking a sweet-ass grieving beard, as I like to call it.
And was promptly nutshotted by Nico.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tiger's just like, money's no option, just name how much you need and make my gadget, please. Now.
I love how you were questioning why Taiga has all that money.
No, because, like, yeah, okay, you made a fair point. Like, there are some people who will go to an unlicensed doctor because some real doctors will be like, no, I will not do that for you.
rich people, Yakuza members who got fucking injured in some sort of gang warfare that can't go to an actual hospital.
I mean, I've watched Michael Bay's The Island, so I should just be like, yeah, no, because they did illegal shit, because
Dark
Doctor's millionaires, rich people paid for clones.
You know who he is?
Huh?
Hi, everybody! Hi, Dr. Taiga!
Right?
Oh my god.
I just ruined Taiga for everyone listening!
The fact that you're not wrong. I'm just gonna go back into my corner and keep comparing him to Black.
No!
I know.
Now I realize something. This is the second time that Taiga has, like, bought his way to, like, fucking win at something. He gave Dan a ton of fucking money to give him a gamer driver and a gashit, and then just paid a game developer to make a gashit that'll defeat Genmu.
He's one of those freemium gamers who just buys all
the exactly! He's just like, pay to win! Pay to win!
Buy all the premium currency!
No, and you know what? Like, you think I'd be pissed off about what Taiga's doing, but no! It's totally in his character! He doesn't give a shit! He's the character who has nothing! He wants to be the only Kamen Rider, and he'll do whatever the fuck it takes to goddamn win!
Taiga is wrestling really fucking hard to steal my favorite character spot.
Well, Taiga is, like, my third favorite character in this show, so he's quite a badass.
He's definitely gotten back up the charts for me.
No, I know! Like, I thought having Nico around would kind of, like, ruin his character, but no, he's kind of just like, fuck you, but she's actually been a fun tag-along for him, so...
Yeah. So during the fight near the end of the episode, we see something I've been looking forward to. The Key Slasher not only accepts double gashits, but two regular gashits, so we get to see Exade use Action Robot's critical finish.
And then, yeah, Genmu does, like, this cool, like, back-dancing, like, spin move, and then just, like, bleh!
He just, like, tornado kicks his way back to his feet.
Yeah, so, like, again, like, credit to the suit actor's choreography. It was beautiful. Yeah.
And we see Brave, while fighting in Full Dragon again, actually use a muscle metal. So everyone is getting a little bit of development.
Masuka!
And
just as a mention, because it's probably going to be important next week,
mm-hmm.
when he was going level X,
mm-hmm.
what I saw when Danger Zombie was like upgrading the extra
smoke. Oh, the little glitch?
Also just that incredibly big cloud of like dark energy, the same thing that happened to Emu when he fucking created Double X.
Which I wanted to get into.
Gigantic fucking dose of Bugster.
Exactly.
Also, it awakened the one that's already inside him because he had to have the compatibility
exactly. server. Exactly. So I feel like Dan has a Bugster inside him,
which makes sense considering the preview for next week is him in a hospital gown in CR
dreaming
about how he doesn't want to die.
I'm gonna really, really like this episode.
We got a ding old damn problem over here. Genmu's going nuts!
Yep. I've been looking forward. I've been enjoying all of Dan's crazy godly rants, which is just making me look forward more and more to his fall from grace.
I am going
to be smiling from ear to ear watching him plead for his fucking life.
No, and judging from the preview, like, Poppy's just like, no, fucking let him die or whatever like that. But obviously, Emu...
It's gonna be some Persona 4 throw Namatame in the TV bullshit.
Yeah.
No, but like, Emu being Emu is just gonna be like... No, he's a patient. He needs to be cured, like, no matter what. Like, fuck.
Something interesting to note is in this episode, Dan finally explains Kamen Rider Chronicle to our protagonists.
Yep.
And we get to see a enemy roster display on the little hologram from the Bug Visor, which includes separate Paradox forms as separate enemy characters, both of his forms. Gutton from Kiki Totsu Robots, Vernier from Jet Combat, Kaiden from Giriri Chambra, Salty from Mighty Action X, Alhambra from Tattle Quest, Revolve from Bang Bang Shooting, and Motors from Buxo Bike, confirming that the only ones left to spawn and gather the data for are the Bugsters from Dragonite Hunter, Shakuriki Sports, which we're going to see next week, or the week after, I believe. And here's where some people have been throwing around some theories. Doremifa Beat.
Yeah.
We have not seen a Bugster from that game.
Poppy.
Except for Poppy.
That. I want to just bring up one thing for that. They did show... Didn't they show silhouettes of the other three?
No, they were question marks.
They were just question marks? Okay, I thought I was seeing
Wait,
something.
Wait, no. Wasn't that Bugster, like, the one where Dormy for Beat, like, debuted? Wasn't
No, that was a Collabos Bugster. And they're, like, blank Bugsters that you plug a gash in and you get the powers of. They weren't from the actual game data.
No, yeah. So, it just... Poppy's gonna be reprogrammed to be evil. Like, it's... That's it. Like, it has to be. Like, everyone's saying that's what it's going to be. Poppy's going to be brainwashed or reprogrammed and to fight alongside Kamen Rider Chronicle, and that's why she has a Buggle Driver too. So,
maybe.
Honestly, you know what it might be?
Hmm?
It might be there's only one.
Oh, and she can steal it.
No.
Maybe.
No. Whoever's Kamen Rider Chronicle is going to give it to her first to use it, so that maybe the belt will have something where if a Bugster is defeated when it's using it, it automatically gets absorbed into it.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe Kamen Rider Poppy's just going to be like a test dummy to see how the Buggle Driver 2 functions as a belt.
I could see that.
Maybe.
I could see that.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And also, apparently, the Emu's gamer driver gets fucking torched.
Do we know if that's Emu's? Because it could have been any of them.
I don't know.
I thought it might be Dan's, because, you know, this is his fall episode.
Yeah.
But why would he need his...
Yeah, why would he have his gamer driver on when he has his Buggle Driver?
Which is a good excuse for it to be destroyed.
I guess. Well, we'll see.
Maybe, but the person that it was falling off of looked like they had a doctor's coat.
I hope this isn't the end to Dan, because A, we haven't seen a picture of him receiving his flowers, so I think it's still going to be a thing, because he needs to finish his Chronicle. He still needs to finish it.
Well, we already know that Chronicle is going to happen, so...
Yeah, yeah. Just... Dan, you're fucking awesome. You're my favorite character.
Oh, you know what it's
going to
be?
Huh? Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be Emu's gamer driver, so he has to use
Kiria's.
Oh.
And then when Paradox gets his gamer driver, it's gonna be Dan's.
Because
he's just gonna steal it. Because it's like, right. Oh, you haven't finished the Chronicle yet, so I'm taking.
You're not using this.
No, well, you know what? Actually, you've had a history on the show of like predicting shit too when you're on. So,
I mean,
you're probably right.
You know,
I mean, my original joke name for the one episode of Silver Metal I was on was, like, Spoiler Caster. So, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I really like the discussion we're having on X-Aid this time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's fucking fascinating. I love it.
Also, with laser level... Laser level 50 would be nice, though. Snipe level 50... I'm really disappointed they didn't make his chest piece look like a suit, like the guy in the Gashat.
Oh, yeah.
Like how on Bang Bang he has, like, the little cloak and everything.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
That would have been a cute little touch to have, like, the little suit and tie.
Yeah, have, like, an Admiral uniform chest piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then pretty much the last thing they mentioned in the episode is there's a funny scene where Poppy eats Hero's cake.
Yes, that was quite a shocker.
And Hero was like, are familiar
how could this happen to me?
No, what's the other joke I fucking like? Oh yeah, your friends ask you if you're fine, but you're not really fine. I love that one.
All right, moving on to Q Ranger.
Wait, I got the. Alright!
So Raptor does the recap this episode because it's the Raptor episode. Raptor, you guys.
Yep.
I make a joke, but I actually... This episode really, really brought forth the other side of her personality that we have not seen before now.
Yeah, the non-bitchy teacher side.
Yeah, that.
This episode, it's really easy to forget that it's Gokai Yellow doing that voice.
Yeah, no, that shows how really good at voice acting she is.
She could be an Akiba Ranger with the level of self-delusion she exhibits this whole episode.
So, I think Emily has another character she can relate to in Sentai.
Yeah.
Because, like, Emily, if you're listening to this, which I'm assuming you are... I'm assuming you have a lot of, like, fantasies and, you know, dreams and stuff that you have, which, that's really cool. I mean, I imagine shit all the fucking time. Like, I do it at work.
I'm kind of really, really sad she's not here for this episode.
No, me too. Yeah, we miss you, Emily. But yeah, so that's cool if you relate to Raptor as well. So, like, two Sentais in a row, you have a character you relate to. That's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. So, with this episode... Hey, remember before this show even started, we were like, man, I kind of wish they never go to Earth.
You fucking did it, Joe! You fucking did it! Not only did we go to Earth...
Episode 4!
No, not only do they get to go to Earth... But they have a reason to fucking stay there for a while.
Oh, hey, it looks like we'll be here for a little while.
Oh,
there's
governors everywhere. Oh, and there's a super special secret about Earth that the Donamoji doesn't want them knowing about.
Going on.
So about that secret. About that secret, I have a theory.
Oh, theory caster, noble.
You know how in the first Thor movie, before Thor drops down and gets tased, they look up into the sky and they go, "Oh, these aren't our constellations. Mm-hmm. All of the constellations that the Q Rangers are only constellations you could, in theory, see from Earth."
Oh, okay.
So what if the whole Q Ranger power and everything about the... whatchamacallits, the constellations originates from Earth.
So you're saying the Earth is the source of the Q energy.
Oh, yeah. No wonder, because they even made a mention in the episode, it's like, oh, our Q power is limited, so we can't use it all. It's not infinite.
Right, and because...
The other thing is, Sholanpo even fourth walls us a little bit is... See... We were all psyched when we heard this was going to be a show with 9 Rangers, but this is the episode where it puts forth the idea that, hold your horses, yes, we have 9 Rangers, but they're not always going to be all fighting at once. We're only going to send down 5 at a time.
No, but then next week we're going to see all 9
it's
of them
totally
together.
Not for budget reasons.
He actually looks to the camera and says, it costs too much, and then Raptor digs into, it costs too much Q energy. You know, the thing that powers us. Totally. It's really a thing.
Right?
God
too much Q energy is powerful. Too dangerous.
Fucking fuck.
And then, probably what was personally for me my favorite part of this entire fucking episode, they're just like, alright, everyone put your Q-tama in this little roulette thing, and now I'm gonna fucking dance and do this little song before I,
The Q-let.
Yeah, Premium Bandai Q-letto, coming this... Yeah, Premium Bandai Q-letto. Yeah, won't scratch your Q-tamas, we promise.
Oh my god.
It's stupid, and it's for a full fourth wall reason, and it's ridiculous... But God, why? How did they produce another just as catchy song?
Right? It's so fucking great. And I just love Lompo's dancing. It's a fucking awesome. I love Lompo so much.
I liked Raptor's sarcastic clapping on the side. Yeah.
And even Champ at the end is just like, why'd you have to dance?
You like even after the whole thing is decided, and it's just like, I still don't understand why we're being split up, and everyone just ignores him.
Also, Ichi liked that Lompo has goggles.
Oh my god, that was amazing. Just like, okay, we're gonna warp now. What? Just Lompo just straps on these sick-ass golden goggles.
Hold on to your seats, kids!
We don't have seats!
Just Raptor and him
hold
step
on
in.
To something.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
And they just get flung around in zero-G through the warp. It's hilarious.
And of course,
I mean, you guys didn't need a warning, right?
And of course, the fucking first 5 that get to go to Earth are the, you know, the first five.
The quote unquote first core 5.
Like, and you know what's funny? Like, the first one that, the first Q-tama comes out is Lucky's, and he's just like, yeah, Yoshi Lucky, and I'm just like, yeah, Lucky's gonna be on the way team every single time.
Because
he wouldn't
be so lucky if he didn't win.
Yeah, even at the beginning of this episode, like, Raptor's fantasizing, whatever, like, and you just see Lucky going like, oh man, this is very unlucky, we're getting defeated. And that's how I instantly knew this was a dream, because I was like,
yeah.
No, Lucky is not, will never have an unlucky moment.
Plus,
never.
Plus, it was like mid-fight at the start of the episode. That's kind of a flag.
Exactly. So I'm just like, bullshit. And then we just see Raptor come in, do like her own little Sentai explosion and pose, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is fucking
And she's flying around and doing punches at like rocket speed, and I'm like, oh, this is an Akiba Ranger thing.
But no, we really get into like Raptor's character, and it's interesting. So we find out that like she was only built and programmed to do two things: pilot the ship and be a secretary. And she honestly did, she's gone beyond her programming. Like, she's learned to like dream and just like want to do more with herself, and that's really good character, especially like
and the really
this early in the show.
And the really tragic part of that is the fact that she has those dreams. She thinks she's broken, that she's defective.
I'm like, no, you're not. Like, think of it. It's like Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation. Like, he's an android. But all he wants to be is not be human, but just be more like a human. So yeah. He wants to be able to emote and do shit humans do. And it's just, it's great. It's really relatable. So, like, good on you, Raptor.
So, Raptor doesn't get sent with the core team, but she does get sent down to Earth with them.
To go find peaches.
Because Sholanpo wants to have canned peaches.
Not even,
no.
He
asked
he
for
want,
peaches.
He wanted peaches, she just got him canned peaches.
Because
he was sick of
wandering
around looking for that shit.
Yeah.
Out of spite, because they don't have a can opener.
Yep.
Father, quit, transform, I need to use your face.
But yeah.
Speaking of Spada's face, did you see the Henshin tutorial YouTube video?
Yes, I did.
Oh my god, so Raptor has a fantasy where she and Spada are, like, fighting together, and this is where this really, really supports the brand new Spada X Raptor ship.
Yeah.
Because, like, they look like they're about to kiss, but then...
I mean, this episode did kind of show he's a little
overly concerned.
Protective.
Her. Which is really gonna fuck everyone who was thinking Spada X Hammy.
Oh, God, he is Sanji! Because in One Piece, Sanji has the hots for both Nami and Robin. And he doesn't care which one he'd get.
But the funny part about the YouTube special is that like Washi Pink and Kajiki Yellow are like leaning in to try and kiss each other, but then Washi Pink's or they stop because Kajiki Yellow's sword nose just like pokes her in the face.
And the only reason
I'm
the
sitting
sword
there
face.
The whole time just like, but come on, that's the best way to do it, because that'll fill the hole in her face!
That's what I was going to say!
No, but my favorite part of the entire thing
God!
Was like...
Sorry, hold on. That moment when you remember that, yes, Raptor has a tiny little hole where its nose should be, and I'm just like, oh, that's going to fulfill some weird kinks!
Yeah, right?
No, but my...
I'm just sitting there the whole time. Like, that's what's bugged me about her design the entire show so far. She's got this little hole where the nose should be. Like, somebody was originally planning to put a fucking Mr. Potato Head nose in there. And just fucking, here we go.
She doesn't look finished.
Right?
No, but...
They're gonna put a nice big red clown nose there.
No, right? Even then! That'd
or,
do it.
Or a beak, because she's, like, washy.
But no, my favorite thing about the transformation special was honestly, like, afterwards, like, she accidentally, like, has her cake and she goes to eat it, but she, like, trips or something and it falls somewhere.
She's freaking out because she was in the middle of fantasizing and he actually came up and started talking to her.
And then she's looking for a cake and then you just see it's right on, fell on Spada's face and he's just like, Raptor, doshite! And then just like, she's freaking out.
You
and then,
ruined my cake! I hate
and
you!
And the part that just made me laugh.
And the best part, that's if you actually watch the episode, that's the cake he made at the end of the episode.
Yeah, but just what's super funny was, you just see Lucky
from the canned peaches.
You just see Lucky and Naga just like watching them from like afar. And just Lucky turns and just goes, and he just eats his cake. And I'm like, hey, Lucky, you've made, you're more relatable to me now, because that's exactly what I would do. I'd just see shit going on, and I would just secretly be like, that's funny.
One thing I really noticed that I hope we see more of is when Raptor first gets told, yeah, you have to go down there with them, and she starts fantasizing about what it could be.
That's
you
great.
Start seeing the gauges on her head just, like, start going up, and I'm like, Oh my god, does she have a arousal gauge of some sort?
No, horny meter.
No, it's it's a fucking overheat gauge.
Maybe.
And it was just great, like, spot.
Which is
like,
really weird when you remember that she has two on her little, like, the hair things that are hanging over her breasts.
Right. What is it with Toei and making robots look like sex droids?
Which is funny when we again bring this back to Akiba Ranger, because Nobuo had a fetish for shiny robot girls.
Yeah.
That's my favorite episode of Akiba Ranger. They made a robot specifically designed to just fuck with the Akiba Red to just make him unfocused. But
they designed to literally fuck with Kashiki Yellow.
I love that this like spot is like, oh Raptor, are you okay? Is there a problem? Nothing.
Just I love how she like holds her glasses like they're possible to be adjusted.
And she's like, nothing. Nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong. I am fine.
But yeah, so they go to Earth and. Jesus, did they get fucked over?
It looks like Helheim took over.
Yeah.
By the way, once again, good fucking job, Zoogers.
Hashtag good job, Zoogers.
Zoogers.
Yeah.
They're on vacation.
Hashtag good fucking job, every Sentai that may or may not still be active.
Yeah.
No, but like, this makes you really think. Is this an alternate universe? But it can't be, because they're going to have a Q-Ranger Zoogers movie.
I was about to say, how the fuck is that going to work?
Cough, cough, good job, Deca-Rangers.
No, you know what's going to be the real question?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with X-Aid?
Yeah.
Right? How are we crossing over if Earth is fucked?
Oh, fuck.
Wow. There's just this one little city that everyone just has this weird disease. Everywhere else is fucked.
No! It's because of the fuck survivor.
They quarantined it!
Shark Matter is just staying everywhere away from that.
Yes!
They have quarantined that city, and no one in that city is aware of any of the shit going on.
Yes! I love it!
Oh my god.
We'll see in a couple weeks!
Right?
The daikon for this week is a giant penis-faced taper, completely in pink, eating dreams, named Yume-Pakun.
Yeah, I mean, I like pink things, but goddamn,
too much pink is dangerous.
That monster was ugly, and his voice was annoying, too. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna eat you!
I feel like when this gets adapted into Power Rangers...
We'll just skip that one.
He's gonna have a Barney voice.
Oh, god.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Your dream looks really tasty.
So he steals children's dreams and makes them, I guess, catatonic or something like that.
No, they're still conscious. They just have no dreams or willpower.
And it was actually interesting. Like later, we find out the Q-Rangers came to help, and just like the humans are like, no, you resisting is making it worse. We don't need your fucking help. We were fine before you came here.
It's not like anybody's dying.
Yeah, we're not dying. Yet. And then just Lucky just goes on this tangent being like, no, if you don't have any fucking dreams,
you might as well be dead.
You might as well be fucking dead.
Which is kind of harsh, I think.
No, but honestly, Lucky has an interesting way of thinking, and I...
Oh, by the way, let's go ahead and officially update the Lucky counter. There were only 3 this episode, bringing the counter up to 24 total for the 4 episodes.
Wow, so he's
scaling back because he's not the focus.
No, and also we learned that, like, Lucky was, like, trying to talk to Raptor because, like, he found out, like, what her dream was. And he's just like, no, that's really cool. I'll try to help you with it. And it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, you know, I'm living because of my dreams. And she's like, oh, yeah, to see the end of the universe? That was it before. Now it's to help you guys defeat Dark Matter.
That's
like,
a side quest. I have a new main quest.
Right?
No, but that's cool because it goes back to one of his first moments in episode 1 where he's like, I want to be with these guys! Fuck it! So,
yep.
That's cool.
So we learned...
Wait, what was that space game that everyone hates?
Space game?
That just came out recently.
No Man's Sky?
Yeah. I was playing No Man's Sky, now I'm playing Mass Effect.
Right? I heard Mass Effect Andromeda has like 100, over 100 worlds that are like specifically created to be each different, so fuck, I can't word snipe.
Yeah.
At least it's better than the shit driving missions in the fucking original game.
Yeah. Fuck you! I love the Mako! And the Tempest will be just as cool.
I saw a video of the driving in Andromeda. It looks vastly improved.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we find out the reason that Raptor's full name is Raptor 283. It's not just because of the Tsubasa pun. Apparently that's also her model number.
So she was the 283rd.
Which, I was going to say, are we going to see other Raptors? Because I'd like that.
And Orion's her uncle, apparently.
And apparently he's also a Pokemon because he only knows how to say his name.
Yes.
Technically he says Oreo.
They go to the curry shop, which I swear to God that's the same one from Gokaiger.
I'm almost sure you're correct.
Someone has to confirm that. I sat there
like, that looks familiar as fuck, that set.
Yep.
It's just tradition. All of the space Sentai need to show up to that curry shop and just eat there.
Yeah, has Decaranger done that?
I don't know.
Probably.
I haven't seen that.
See, this is why we are. This is why we need Gar here. Yeah. God damn it.
Gar, send a message from the future.
So when Raptor finally decides to be like, no, I want to fight and live my dream, we just get this really cool shot of just like the other like four Q Rangers just like finishing off the mooks and just do like
nodding.
posing and nodding, and I'm just like, that's so cool.
By the way, apparently the Seiza Blasters are also fucking communicators, because why the fuck not?
Multi-purpose bullshit.
Seiza Blaster to Orion, Seiza Blaster
to
Orion.
Hey, if the shift brace can also be a watch.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I'm late!
What? Where's the display on that?
Crim thought of everything. But yes, it was really actually, it really put a huge smile on my face seeing like Raptor like so in just awe that like she had her own Q-tama. Like she was not expecting it, and it was really cool.
And again, this is another one that just got like willed into existence, which really, really has me wondering where the fuck Garus came from.
It's because they had a lot of, you know what, Garus was probably his dad's.
Maybe. And
when his dad died, he took it off of his corpse as, like, a memorabilia thing. Like, I'll always remember you as I run away like the little bitch I am.
That's eventually going to be explained. Like, if someone's going to be like, gee, Garu, how did your Q-tama, like, come into form?
And I'm also looking forward to us seeing the backstories on how Spada, Hami, and Champ got theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Hami just laughed at space really loudly.
Champ got his Q-tama immediately after, like, he was screaming because his creator got killed.
It was a prize for Robo Wrestling.
this lovely Q-tama. Yeah,
this like, lovely desk ornament!
No, it's like in One Piece when Luffy went to Dressrosa, and he went to a fighting tournament because he found out that the prize for winning the tournament was Ace's Devil Fruit.
Oh.
And he, like, wanted to win that no matter what, because he would die before he had anyone else touch that fruit.
So, we get to see the debut of Speedstar Washi Pink.
And
the wings appear mid-engine, and it's gorgeous!
Yeah, and in terms of skill, she's pretty fucking good.
She flies at amazing speed with an instant masterful skill. She dual wields the blaster on the Seiza blaster and the Q shot in the other hand, which is way more amazing than I was expecting.
And I'm gonna mention, I know the Q shot is like the most like fucking like just generic weapon out of all 9 form modes.
Because it's just the handle. Yeah,
but I love the Q shot. I think it's fucking cool.
I think Washi Pink definitely has a chance at becoming my favorite Pink Ranger.
It's very cool.
Get out.
Okay.
Yes, and we also get to see the first use of the Q buckle, and we get to see the Cancer and Telescopium Q-tamas get used with obvious purposes.
Yeah, Cancer one was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Cancer attack!
AKA, we had fucking Balance and Naga stay up on the ship
to
rig up a copy of the belts from Gokaiger.
Yeah, it's the key road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, if you press this button on your belt, you can get one of the other Q-tamas.
Right?
Really?
Let's test your luck.
Yeah, don't question it. It's part of the budget.
Fuck you.
So, Yume Pakun gets in his Mori Mars robo, and something funny happened. Like, all six of them, like, line up and, like, summon their swords, but then, like, even though Hami summoned hers, it doesn't come, because they only need five to make the Megazord.
Yeah.
She just, I assume, because we never see her the rest of the shot, is just standing there by herself.
And
she went back to the ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I'll just leave now, okay?
Yeah.
That chameleon's useless anyway.
No, it honestly is, which is why, like, 2 weeks from now, I'm buying Washi Voyager to replace Chameleon Voyager, because fuck yeah. Chameleon. Chameleon Zord's silly.
I admit,
and gets its tongue ripped out on
look,
the regular.
Look at this! Like, sure, cool, the tongue pops out, but, like, look for the cute... It's sticking out of its butt!
No, it is its butt.
Yes!
Anyways.
Sorry. God, I hate Hammy.
So, Hammy's a butt?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, when they formed Kyureno, someone on the Facebook group noticed a little error. When the Kyutama cockpits all light up, Yellow's lights up with actually the Gold Ranger's emblem, the Libra, the Tenbin emblem,
yeah,
instead
Tenbin.
Of his own.
God damn it.
I'm like, that's kind of a weird oversight.
I mean, it's not the first time Toei's made fucking mistakes in their shows.
And then we get the best thing ever that Washi Pink does. She makes a Sailor Moon reference.
Yep.
The name of Aquila, I will punish you.
Don't use that dub.
Sorry,
that's up.
Washi.
In the name of the Washi Galaxy, I will punish you.
There you go.
It's amazing. And then I was thinking that whole fight, like, the way Washi Voyager looks as an arm, I'm like... You know, that thing would be cool if they used it as a bow, and then they used Meteor Break, and the wings actually flipped around, and they shot it like an arrow. And I'm like, that's awesome! Thank you!
Jeez, you're right, Ichi. Like, you do love the Pink Ranger for this show. That's fucked up.
Yeah. And you like blue.
I do like blue, but
it's weird.
But pretty much by this point, I think Lucky's my favorite character, so... But I love Garu as well. That hasn't changed.
I took a couple screenshots during this episode because there's several times where we get to see Raptor's journal of, like, where she's writing down her delusions. So I'm going to go ahead and read these. The one from the start of the episode says...
Warning, contains heavy English.
Yeah. Q-Ranger, which isn't a match for the offensive of Jark Matter, Raptor 283... It was a secret that I'm strong for everyone wasn't it lucky. Every drone disappearance, match is destroyed. I defend space peace! And then the one at the end of the episode...
With a little drawing of all of them and her new form as well.
Give me a sec to zoom in on that.
The great brain and winning again.
I
leave for no reason.
It could be Q Ranger. It be Q Ranger Eagle Pink. In person, Q Tama responded. It's the importance a dream is believed, isn't it? It's very painful to run after a dream, but if I'm with everyone, a dream comes true.
Wow.
If Anthony put in the screenshots.
She put herself at the center. What a fucking
bitch. I love
bitch.
The pose she drew herself in. Yeah. And everyone else is just hanging around like, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, no, we're here.
We're
fucking giant little bumps on Chameleon Green. That's so adorable. I feel like an actual child drew those.
Probably.
No. They just told the suit actor to draw it while wearing the gloves.
There you go.
Oh my god. Next week, apparently focuses more on Eridron. We get to meet Big Brother Scorpio. All 9 Q Rangers assemble, and I noticed something that may or may not be a thing. We see in the preview a couple shots of a kid defending another kid who is wearing a very light blue vest.
Ooh,
possibly
yeah,
Koguma Sky Blue, since he was supposedly Orange's partner?
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
That's quick.
Hang on.
Alright.
We will quote Space Jam for all eternity.
Don't bring me anymore, right?
Don't bring me anymore, right?
Alright. Feature topic.
Feature topic.
Our feature topic for this week is a shorty but a goodie. It's episode 2 of the Kamen Rider Genmu Legend Rider specials. And this one was fun.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of video games, you'll fucking love this episode. It's great.
So it starts where the last one left off, where quote-unquote Dr. Pac-Man is there with the Namco gadgets. But supposedly he died in the movie because everyone's like, oh, you're dead. I'll just have to kill you again. Well, I think they're leading up to be that it's someone else posing as Dr. Pac-Man this time.
Don't kill me anymore, right?
It's Kyria.
It's Kyria!
No, the guy who was Dr. Pac-Man.
No, see,
because
all the games that he's giving everyone, they're just old dead games, you know?
Pac-Man's not dead.
I mean,
I still play Pac-Man to this very day.
So
I know, it was more just for the joke.
I know.
Yeah. So Genmu and his spawned rider clones of Double O's and Forze meet up with our protags in a tunnel, and then we are quickly introduced to Exade, Adventure Action Gamer Level 3, Brave Famista Quest Gamer Level 3, and Snipe Zevius Shooting Gamer Level 3. Zevius Shooting Gamer is everything I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
It is the perfection of that design.
You fucking love that form so much. I love Pac Adventure. It's just, it's great. Like, I love his fist. I love that, like, on the side of his helmet, he's just got, like, two Pac-Mans.
It's a fucking repurposed Geki Totsu robot.
Who cares?
They're all repurposed, but they're all slightly different in their models. They're not just straight-up recolors.
Yeah, I know.
Pac-Man's got the fists. Famista has baseballs in the speaker emblems and a glove. And Zevius, the chest piece for the
I'm just sitting here. You say it has fists. Geki Totsu robots had fists.
It only had one fist, and it was a bigger fist.
This one had kind of like the O's kangaroo metal
fist. That's what I thought they were, but
no,
they
aren't.
They're different.
They're original fists.
That's what I thought.
Oh, and that thing we were talking about earlier during Extra, I sent in the Discord chat.
Okay.
I just found it.
Yeah. And then the Snipe Zevius form, the design of the plane on his chest is different than Jet Combat's.
Play their games, and wow.
It's amazing.
Like, Snipe, like, fights Forze, like, because he goes, rocket form or whatever like that, and just,
Gatling.
Uses rocket and Gatling, and it's just literally, like, a chasing game. And as much as I love Forze, I have to admit, I loved seeing him get his ass kicked. It was pretty fucking fun.
It was great when they actually started doing like a vertical sliding up, like a shoot 'em up, like the actual game.
And just all the gaming the music from the games and the gadgets and all the sounds are just all like great.
I'm definitely buying a Zevius.
Oh, I'm getting a Pac-Man gadget.
I'm getting a Famista gadget. Said no one ever.
I like how instead of just giving him a regular baseball glove, they actually molded it out of, like, armor.
Is it? Because it looked like a real baseball glove to me.
It looks like a real one, but in all the scenes of it, it has, like, a glossy shine to it.
No, I noticed that, too. It does look like it's made out of the same crap as the suit.
I wonder if Oz was on the Jaggers!
I mean, just give him a Jaguar medal.
Your turn, Mr. Juster.
But yeah, just cue the video from my channel. Just the shot from JoJo. Oh, that's a baseball!
Yeah, Ichi made this amazing video of just like using baseball. Put gadget sounds.
All
to
I
it.
Did was add the sound of a gadget being
inserted.
But
it was fucking perfect! Like, I laughed my ass off. You're so good at that.
Yeah.
So good.
That's a critical strike.
Brave did a critical strikeout on O's.
Yeah, like, holy fuck. He, like, raised his...
But not before and fucking throwing a ball right into the umpire Bugster's junk, apparently.
Because I think Brave just found that funny. He's just like,
you know what bugs me, though, about the riders that they picked?
What Bugsters you?
Yeah.
What Buggles you?
Double has a form where he has a big stick.
Yep.
Why not have him be the baseball guy?
I know, right? Just have him bat with the metal shaft.
No, but I like to think.
But
that,
then
like,
I thought about it like this: O's has three medals, three strikes.
Oh.
Yeah. No, but I also like to think that, like, Edgy in his world travels was just like, yeah, I used to play professional baseball in America.
That's the lamest pretense ever.
I mean, in one of the MLB baseball teams, they actually have a Japanese pitcher. And
there's several.
And he's fucking good. Japan loves baseball! Like, yeah, more than America does!
That is correct.
Jesus Christ.
And I just love how Snipe, like, when he beats Forza, he has a score of 9,999,990. Not 99. And I don't think I completely get the joke, but when he's done, he lands and gives air quotes and says, "Mission complete." I feel like I missed part of the joke.
He fucked up and didn't go get that last 9 points.
That must be it.
Yeah, like, he beat Forza, but he didn't get the top high score, so he's sure. Just like, mission complete, I guess. And then we have XA just being running away like a little bitch, like Pac-Man would do, and chasing him through, like, doubles chasing him. And then he finds the power pellet, grabs the power pellet,
which apparently is called power cookie.
Yeah, it's called the power cookie in Japan, which is interesting. And then just spots a blue ghost on Double's head. And I'm just like,
I was kind of expecting them to, like, warp his whole suit so that he flashed blue. I was kind of hoping for that instead, but that's good enough.
Raven's reaction was perfect. He's like, "God damn it, like, I knew that was coming."
Right?
But
like, I fucking knew it was going to happen, but I was just kind of hoping it wasn't.
And then we got the Paku critical strike, and literally just turns him into a giant Pac-Man. Just,
just eats Double.
Yeah, I saw him do it, and I was like, is he just going to turn into Pac-Man? Blomp!
Yep.
Yep.
No.
Final smash.
Like, I don't think I've ever mentioned it, like, on Cast Ranger, but, like, honestly, one of my favorite retro games of all time is Pac-Man. Like, I grew up playing it, like, whenever I went to an arcade. I love Pac-Man. I made him in Smash Brothers. I have two amiibos of him. And I've always loved Pac-Man. He's fucking cool. So, love his design, love his little gloves. So.
Speaking of glove, I love when Brave does his critical strike, how he, like, winds up the pitch and, like, lifts his leg up.
Yeah.
And then just, like, it's almost like he steps out of the episode for a sec just to, like, quickly dart his hand down to the slot to hit critical strike, and then puts it back up and finishes the pitch.
Like, credit to Brave suit actor for that fucking, just lifting that leg out. That was
holding
impressive.
That pose.
Yeah, that was impressive. Holy shit.
Well, okay, it's a lot easier to do that when you're not holding the giant metal cast that is right. The Kiva leg thing.
But what's...
Yeah,
what's
I mean, you know what I think happened? I think they just had Dan's actor get in the suit for a minute.
No, but what's bullshit is, like, he throws the fucking critical strike pitch. Oz hits it with the bat, so technically...
But the pitch is so hard that it just... Nope.
Sends all three of them flying into each other and just explode.
Two rockets busting off again!
And then just game clear. And it was funny, too, because it was three of them, because Oz... Three, so
yeah.
God damn it.
Meanwhile, Poppy is, like, annoyingly poking the paralyzed Gunbarizing
just
collab.
Like,
I'm
poking
just sitting
it.
There like I'm sitting there like it's standing perfectly still. You could just, like, take the gadget out of it. Just take it out of it. No, you're just gonna poke at it
and
not
and
do anything.
Scream at it.
The
screen just goes
That was actually funny.
Finally sets it off and it just starts chasing her around for a minute.
No, but watching her, like, acting like this, it just makes my theory more sound. It's just like, she's not going to be a Kamen Rider of her own free will. Like, there's no fucking way, because she's not going to know what the fuck to do. Like, she used a special metal in episode 12, and what did it do? Just spun a Christmas dress and made her just sing a fucking Christmas song. That was it. Like, sure, she summoned a giant holographic knife and fork, but that's pretty much it. She just went Toriko for, like, a second.
So, after they finally pull Gunbarizing out, Eggsaid uses it in the breaker for a Gunbarizing critical finish, and then it just gets sucked inside its own hologram somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And starts spawning Hibiki for the next episode.
Because whoever is Dr. Pac-Man pulls out the Taiko no Tatsujin gadget.
Yep.
For those who don't know, Taiko no Tatsujin is a game about drumming a taiko drum.
It's a freaking rhythm game.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing that, because I enjoyed that game. I have played one of the Taiko no Tatsujin games on the PS2.
I saw him in the Mario Kart game, which we talked about last
time. Yeah, he was on Mario Kart GP.
I've seen arcade versions of that at various cons.
He's cute, that's for sure.
Cute. Is that cute?
So cute. But yeah, this was a fun special. I thoroughly enjoyed it all the way through.
Yeah, and so episode 3, which is going to be exclusive to the DVD when that comes out, Genmu does a Gon Rising Critical Strike, which apparently summons a flying ring of all the riders.
So you mean that thing where in All Riders versus Die Shocker, where they just all rider kicked fucking Shadow Moon at the same time?
By the way, this episode can go fuck itself, because the preview for episode 2 hinted at us finding out who Dr. Pac-Man was in this, and literally episode 2 ends with Genmu ripping off the mask and we don't see who it is.
Yep, because he's blocking his own face with the fucking
You want to find out who he is? Buy the DVD!
You don't find out until episode 3, but...
You dicks! Yep. Anyways, that's marketing.
Alright, well, that is our show for this week.
Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, it was really fucking cool, and I'm getting Pack Adventure Gashit.
Yeah, and I'm getting Zevius.
Yep.
Woo.
I will happily pose that Gashit alongside my Pac-Man amiibo.
And I will pose it next to my Bang Bang Shooting.
There you go.
Noble, any closing thoughts?
It was an interesting special, to say the least. I did see a Spy Shot thing a while back where it was all the X8 riders in their respective dragon forms against Ryuki. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing for the...
Wait, including Laser?
No, it was main 3.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not sure if that's going to be a thing for the next episode or not.
Okay, well...
It seems kind of weird for it to be part of the next episode when it seems like it's going to be heavily, like, Hibiki-related.
Actually, it might have Laser in it because, like, when Genmu showed up, Hiro was like, Black X-Aid!
Oh, yeah, because he's in level 2 form still, Kiria should be alive in this part of the timeline.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Maybe. All right, so... Everyone who's listening, watching, thank you for joining us for another week. As always, you can find our primary source of hijinks at castranger.podbean.com.
Oh, yeah.
Please make sure to follow our Radio Sentai Cast Ranger Facebook page, where we post all kinds of funny memes and toku-related images on the regular.
Follow me on Twitter at either Lightrid or CasterPink. So.
And you can also tweet at us at Ixie Studios.
Yep.
Noble, thank you for joining us for another week. Hopefully
always glad to be on.
Yep. Next week, Gar should be back. And
hopefully with the Ghost movie subbed with him so we can watch it.
Yeah, and hopefully Emily will be here.
Yep.
Yay! We'll see you all next week.
Bye, fuckers! Love you.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.